Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators, where our heart beats that churches can send their missionaries well. My name is Ed Compion.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
And we've been speaking over our last couple of podcasts about the missionary stream. Jeff, you want to explain what that stream is?
Yeah, basically, we are looking at the idea that when an individual or a church, the leadership, especially of a local church, when they really grasp the idea that the God who's revealed himself in the Bible is the missionary God, something begins to happen in them. It's sort of like we're calling this in the mission stream, the headwaters. When you understand who God is, it changes you, it moves you, and the stream begins to happen, and you go from the headwaters to the beginning of a flow, which we covered in previous podcasts, what the flow looks like for an individual, what it looks like for a local church. And what we want to do today is we want to look at the idea of, okay, now that things are moving for an individual or a local church, if you're moving in the right direction with where God's heart is at, if you're in the mission stream, that stream's going to get deeper and it's going to get wider. And what we want to do today is look at, okay, what is the deepening and widening portion of the mission stream? What does that look like for those two people, the individual and the local church?
As the waters gather, so to speak, of this stream, it's getting deeper and wider. Let's begin with the idea, what's this looking like for the local church? We'll move on to the individuals as we go on. What's one of the first things we need to think about for a local church?
Well, I think the main thing when a local church is moving down the mission stream is they need to be prepared that some of their people who are now in touch with God's heart and they become informed about what's going on around the world, the need regarding unreached people groups, they're aware of the ethnic makeup of their local city and so forth. When people start to move in that direction, some of them may actually get called by the Lord to become a missionary.
You know, depending on the polity of the church and such, there's going to need to be a missions pastor, a missions minister. Probably in many groups, it'd be a mission committee to help define what that flow is going to look like within that local church.
Exactly. And you know, as in any other ministry of a local church, you know, if it's something that you care about, you think it through. You develop a process, a track for people to get on if they want to serve in that particular area of ministry. So as a local church begins to deepen and widen in its understanding of God's heart for all nations, the leaders of that church are going to want to put together a pathway for those that are called that will be the fleshing out of that church's vision now to reach the world. And a part of that pathway is going to be what we talk about here regularly at Shepherd Staff is the value of a written missions policy.
Yeah, and what would a missions policy have? I know that it's such a broad term, and different churches may have different types of policy. I know some are very, very theological, some are very, very practical, and often it's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But what are the main points that need to be in that policy?
I think before you actually look at the policy, it's important to understand why a policy is important, you know? And a lot of times when people hear policy, their eyes kind of roll to the back of their head, and they just think, boring. And and a policy doesn't have to be a document full of boringness. What I've learned over the years is that when a written policy, for whatever area of ministry it is, when a written policy exists and has been done the right way, it instills confidence in the leaders of that church. In other words, the members of the church say, hey, our leaders take this so seriously that they've thought this thing through. They know exactly where they want to go. They know how they want to get there. They've developed a path. And so if the people in the church see that the leaders have taken it that seriously to write it down, then basically that instills in those people confidence that their leaders know basically what they're doing.
It's not ad hoc every time a missionary rises up or there's a desire to support a missionary that's a third cousin of someone in the church.
Yeah, and that's usually how churches begin. It's like somebody's cousin or something. But really, when a church gets the heart of God for the nations, God's going to bring people to that church, either from members within or people locally that have a heart for the nations. And that church has to be ready to say, look, we take this seriously, and so we've thought this through, and here's what we're looking for. Here's the hoops that somebody's going to have to jump through. And the key thing is that the hoops that the church comes up with and puts as part of their policy, those hoops are done out of love.
Yeah.
Because they not only want to send missionaries, they want to do what we want as a mission, as a missions organization. They want to send them well.
Right.
And I remember when I pastored a local church and we had our policy and stuff, and people would come and they'd want to go spontaneously. Hey, we just got back from a trip to Africa, and we want to leave in 6 weeks to move to Africa. And I'd say, well, wait a minute. The process, we have a policy, and the process to get you to the field is going to take, 9 months to a year. And they kind of like recoil at that. My response was always, look, we love you too much Amen. To send you unprepared. And we love you too much to not prepare ourselves to send you.
That's right.
So you need to be prepared to go. Well, we need to be prepared to send you. And that's why we take this seriously and we have this policy.
It's sort of creating a ramp that you would lower your boat into that mission stream into gently and well rather
yes.
than just jumping in.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, is the idea of a ramp. So one part of the deepening and widening of a local church that's now in the mission stream is they're going to develop a written missions policy. And one of the things, there's lots of nooks and crannies in that, which we help churches work through if they've never had a written policy in missions before. But really considering, who's the end user of the policy? Is it primarily for the missions committee or the leadership of the church? Is it a document that the actual missionary is going to get a copy of the whole thing? There's lots of things like that. But giving it the attention that it needs is really worth it in the long run.
Right. What are a couple of the points that need to be in that policy? As you said, they're a little flexible, but some things that are sort of unnegotiable, things that need to be.
Non-negotiable is, you got to have in there, what is the church's definition of missions?
Amen. Exactly. That's
the starting point, is this is how we as a church define missions. And once you have that and that's laid out clearly, then everything else will sort of flow out from that. And just for those churches that are sort of, let's say they're sort of driven by the senior pastor, it's important that the missions policy be an expression of the senior pastor's understanding of what missions is. Because a lot of churches we've helped, great people have developed great policies, but if the senior pastor guy wasn't on board and he didn't buy into the definition of missions and the thing that were developed as part of the policy, then it never gets on track.
Jeff, I'm so glad you said that, because as we've worked with churches here, it's amazing how when you sit down with a group of people from the same church and you ask them, what is missions? There's many valid and good things said, but they can be a little contradictory and certainly competing for time, treasure, and talent from that local church. And if there's not agreement, you'll never be able to send well.
Yeah, and then also the policy has to... It has to have the path to the field. In other words, it's got to say, okay, if you want to go to the field, here's the process that you have to go through. We need your written testimony. We want to talk with you about your doctrine. We're going to assign a couple people from the church to oversee your path to get to the field. We're going to require you to read certain books and give reports. We're going to require you to receive a certain level of training in certain areas. And if you jump through all these hoops, if you do these things that we're laying out for you, including maybe building a practical care team and so forth, you jump through the hoops, then the benefit is we're going to send you as an expression of our body, and we're going to support you financially, and we're going to care for you.
So we start with the idea of defining what missions is, what's God's definition of missions, and then how this church defines what a missionary is.
Exactly, what a missionary is and the path to step into that category and be sent as a missionary.
As a missionary from that church.
From that church,
yeah,
exactly.
Now, there could be even another category for
yes.
people that come in from outside, people
yes.
you love and care about, not necessarily from your church,
yes.
that you might support at a different level.
Yes, yeah, and that should be part of the missions policy too. In fact, what we recommend is that churches divide missionaries into two categories. Those that are part of the local church, they're going to go to the field. We call them immediate family members. Those that are not part of that church but have a relationship because of other people in the church or whatever, they're extended family members. And that's a different path. What an extended family member needs to do in order to be supported by this church financially is going to be a lot less than immediate family member does. And when that happens, basically, at the end of the line, financially, immediate family members are going to get a higher priority with the church's finances than extended family members are.
It sounds like one of the great things that this policy would do is define expectations between the church and the missionary, whether this is an immediate family member or an extended family member. There's a clear definition or a clear expectation.
Yes.
And so that's going to kind of slow down or, Lord willing, stop any conflict down the road of missed expectations.
Yes, absolutely. Those things are clearly defined. And one of the other things, and this is sort of just a sidelight benefit, when a local church has a good, well thought out, not long and boring missions policy, but when they have it, in a sense, a lot of people screen themselves out. The policy itself will screen out people who really don't want to put in the time to be sent well.
Right.
And then the individuals within the church, the leaders or the commissions committee or whatever, they don't have to be the bad guy that says to them, hey, you know what, we're just not going to get behind you. The policy itself, the path, sort of screens out those that are at this point in their life aren't ready to really go.
And it may allow them to kind of assess where they're at with their walk with the Lord, where they're at kind of in their personal development.
Yes.
And hey, to get to this point, I need to reverse engineer a few things in my life and get to this point that I am able to be sent.
Exactly. And I think part of the deepening and widening in regards to the church too, besides the written missions policy, and we're talking primarily about like long-term missionaries,
Right.
is that church's involvement in sending short-term teams
Sure.
and being intentional about our short-term teams. Yeah, they're accomplishing a purpose at the time, but they're also giving us a window into potential long-term missionaries. And so there may even be some churches have a separate written policy for short-term teams and how their church is going to do them. But that's all part of the deepening and widening when a church takes global missions seriously and the flow has begun. The deepening and the widening is, hey, we need to be engaged in what God's doing around the world with our own members, both on a short-term basis and on a long-term basis.
Sure, and in a situation like that, the definition could come down to, we will send short-term teams, but only to support our long-term missionaries,
Yes.
or we will send them because we want to bless our youth ministry or whatever. And both are valid points, but there needs to be some sort of clarity through the policy.
Yeah, and what you see in this deepening and widening is you also see the idea that here's a church that's now investing. And honestly, there's a money factor involved in
Sure.
this. So a church that really gets it and it's in the mission stream, it's going to expend some of the finances that the members of that church give to the leadership of that church. And in fact, we challenge churches all the time that they tithe 10% of the total giving of the church members to global missions. And then, if they expect the members of their church to tithe, or they challenge people to pray about tithing to the church and live on 90% of their income, well, what if the church lived on 90% of its income and actually tithed 10% of what it got to global missions?
Well, I always love, what our friend Robert Smith Quilkin used to say. He says, not only tithe of your finances to missions, what if we tithe our people to
Yes,
missions?
what a concept.
I love that. It's
Yeah.
a little heartening to think 10% of our people we desire to send. It
Yes.
certainly would take more than 10% of our giving to make that happen, but what a great goal.
Yeah, and in the meantime, until for new church planters or churches that are just getting into taking seriously the mission stream, until you have your own ready to send, you can get behind existing missionaries that are out there, extended family missionaries. And again, we would recommend that you look at people that are doing work among unreached, unengaged peoples, like Bible translators or whatever, in that realm. And immediately start tithing financially some of your income towards unreached, unengaged people groups, even though they're not your own people doing the work.
Well, I think, Jeff, when the church itself is deepening and widening and into the flow, the missionary flow of God, policy is certainly important, but what other steps might be taking place? I'm thinking of creating moments within the church where missions are brought up so the church as a whole is getting it.
One of the things that I really like to see is again, and it goes back to the flow, but here's the practical expression of the flow now that it's deepening and widening is. The church intentionally keeps global missions in front of the body
Yes.
every time the body gathers. The churches that I've been involved with, we call it a missions moment, where like literally every time there's a group of people from within the church gathered together, we're going to be praying or we're going to be informing that group of people about something that God's doing somewhere around the world that has to do with expanding his kingdom to those that have never heard it. So this deepening and widening, again, it's all kind of moving in the same direction, but the idea that, hey, here's a church that you can't go to this church, any one of their services, without hearing about something that God's doing on a scale larger than my own life and my own community and my own country.
Yeah, as it deepens, as it widens, its missions moments, and that's done in some practical ways. It could be the slides in the bulletin that are flying up on the projector before services begin is going to be prayer points for one of the missionaries.
Yeah.
It's going to be bulletin boards. It's going to be inserts into the bulletins that are handed out.
Yes.
It's going to be in the VBS. It's going to be with the youth group, even the seniors group. Whatever it would be, there's just those moments where it's just part of the DNA of the church.
Yeah, it is. And there's great tools for this. In fact, the local church that I go to, we do a missions moment every service. And we use this prayercast.net. If you guys haven't heard about that, I recommend you look it up. It's prayercast.net. And basically, it's like these three minute videos on pretty much every country in the world where you hear somebody from that country praying, you see visual pictures and images of that country and its people, and then there's prayer points at the end. I mean, it's like 3 minutes.
Right.
So even though we're busy and we're like ultimate, time, we lock ourselves into time at an amazing rate here in our country and our culture, taking 3 minutes to show a Prayercast video is well worth it.
Amen. Amen. My favorite part, Jeff, is when, with no disrespect to the missions moment, is when it's so deep in the DNA that even just teaching through the word, you see God's heart for the nations, and it's brought out almost as if, I need to be careful the way I say this, where it's not special, it's just obvious and just so deep in the system that you don't have a missions ministry. Missions is why the church is there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a whole other subject, that we can cover at another point in time. But yeah, it's those kind of things. And again, what we're talking about here, the mission stream is really an expression of God's missionary heart being in the DNA of that church.
Right.
And if God's heart is in the DNA, it's going to be in the pastor's messages. It's going to infiltrate every fiber of that church. And it's going to make a global impact.
Well, Jeff, we've spoken very highly about the need for the church as it deepens and it widens into the missionary flow, into the mission stream, as we've been calling it. And I want to advise our listeners, please contact us. We have some sample policies and things like that we'd love to help you with. But let's now move on and talk about what happens with the individual. When the individual is in the mission stream and they're deepening and they're widening and they're engagement with the missionary God.
Yeah. I think for the individual, once they get it, they get who God is and the flow has begun and they've done the research, they're understanding the bigger picture of what's going on around the world. They're going to be hands-on engaged. So they're not only going to make themselves aware of like unreached, unengaged people groups or global missions, they're going to start praying. They're going to start communicating with people that are on the field. When given the opportunity of a missionary visiting their local community, they're going to take the time to meet with them one-on-one. The deepening and widening happens is the same person maybe is also now reaching out locally to people from other ethnicities and cultures, languages, religions locally. And then now God's stirring in them and they want to take a short-term trip and their church has one planned. And so they go and they take a short-term trip.
Or they lead it.
They
initiate it and say, how do we do this? They're together. You can't separate the idea.
You can't separate.
From the local church and the individual within it, because you don't have one without the other. But
as
that individual goes and says, hey, we'd like to visit this missionary work.
Mm-hmm.
And what's our policy? And the church says, we don't have a policy. Or the church says, here is our policy.
Right.
It's all going to come together.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for the individual, and again, that's where we have to recognize that, the mission stream includes all of God's people that understand his heart. And some are going to be called to go. Most are not going to be called to go.
Right.
But the mission stream will help them find their place. And that deepening and widening portion of it is where they have some experiential opportunities to be part of the bigger thing that God's doing. And those opportunities, either on a short-term trip, locally, whatever, or hosting a missionary, letting a missionary that's here visiting, and this is a big subject too, we could do a whole thing on, is basically the practical nuts and bolts side of caring for missionaries. Sure. So you got an extra car, you got an extra room at your house, and missionaries in town, you host them, you give them your car, you connect them with the doctors or dentists that you know. You start doing those kind of things, God starts to shape you and mold you, and then eventually God may call you to go.
And that's where you're getting deeper and wider into that stream.
Yes.
Where God's going to move on you. And it may be going, it may be becoming a little more sacrificial in your giving.
Yes.
It may be, you know, where you don't have an extra car, but you have your car and you give it up for a season. You know, those sort of things is what begins to happen, where the individual is getting deeper and they're getting wider. And that, again, connects to the local church, because it's one of the goals for the local church, one of the visions for the local church is to equip the saints. And so now they are working together as a unit.
Yeah, the deepening and widening is not just, you know, it doesn't just apply to people ultimately called to go. That deepening and widening is a deepening and widening of understanding of God's heart for the nations, and a deepening and widening of my passion to be involved at whatever level God would provide me the opportunity to be involved at.
How else might they, in a sense, dive deeper into that stream, that mission stream?
Well, and it sounds like, again, and we scratched it, the surface of it a little bit, but of course, and it's kind of a prayer.
Amen.
And then the idea of again, communication with missionaries, encouraging missionaries, taking the time to read their to ask them to send their newsletters, to pray for them, and then communicate with them. There's so many on-ramps. It's kind of like, it's hard to come up with simple ones because there's so many opportunities.
There's so many opportunities.
What did you have in mind?
Oh, I was thinking the same things. I was thinking of some of the various classes that are offered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking...
Perspectives.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Or Kairos.
Yeah, Kairos.
Yeah.
And these sort of things that would allow this person to get deeper and wider mm-hmm. into the mission stream that they could go forward. I believe developing a relationship with a missionary on the field through their blog, through their Facebook, whatever the this form of communication there is, maybe an email relationship, and inviting them into your church life is one of the key ways where that compassion starts to develop.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the other thing, Ed, that I think is really important, and a lot of people, I don't think they really wrestle this through, and I think part of it is because of our culture, our individualistic, independent culture, is that in the mission stream, that you're in the stream with other believers. So you're part of a home fellowship, you're part of the prayer, the part of the prayer meeting, or whatever. And when you engage the local community, and you go side by side with other church members into situations where you're together serving other people, it's not primarily for your own interests, but you've gone together side by side with others for a cause larger than your own interests, those relationships that are built serving missionaries, loving missionaries, praying for missionaries, reaching out to your local community, those relationships that are built with a small group of people within your home church, if God calls you to go to the field, those are going to be the relationships that are crucial to your success on
the
field.
Yeah, if you're not a great church member now, you're not going to be sent well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and as crazy as it sounds, we have people that contact us that feel called to be a missionary, and we ask them, do you go to a local church? Yeah. Okay, where do you serve in the church? Well, I don't. And you find out they just go to church on Sunday morning. They attend one of the services. They've been attending a service for 5 years. They're not involved at all at any level relationally with members of the church. They're not serving in the church, and yet they want to be a missionary sent by that church. And you know, to have to tell those people, look, you need to kind of rethink what a missionary is. The whole Lone Ranger thing doesn't work in missions.
No. Well, you know, Jeff, you know this, and our readers may be surprised as we say this, but our first moments when a missionary applies to us is we call their home church and ask about them.
Yeah.
And occasionally we get, who?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a real awkward call for us to make back to that missionary.
Yeah, and it's sad that we even have to make that call, but we've just learned after doing this for so long that you know, there's a lot of people that think going to the mission field is just like, you know, taking a job in another state, and it doesn't really matter if I have good relationships with the people I'm with now. I'm just going to move to another state.
Well, deepening into the missionary stream of the missionary God means you're on his path, and his path is through his local church to go reach the nations.
Yeah.
There's no other path. You know, there's no other stream, I guess, if we keep with our analogy.
And it's relational. In other words, our God exists in three persons. So all three members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, working together, sent Jesus, the Son, as a missionary into our world. So if Jesus came as an expression of the community within God himself, how much more does a missionary need to be sent as a member of the community of their local church?
Exactly, exactly. Well said. Well, Jeff, anything else you would add?
No, I think that, again, in the mission stream, kind of staying within that sort of example, a true encounter with who God is at the headwaters, understanding who God is, will produce a flow, which we've already talked about, and a flow will move towards a deepening and widening. And if somehow the flow is plugged up and it's not moving towards deepening and widening, the